The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. As you might have already realized, Mark's Gospel doesn't dawdle. We've had John's pronouncement about the one who is coming. John says, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is followed by Jesus' baptism, where the voice from heaven proclaims, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Jesus is then possessed by the Holy Spirit and driven into the wilderness, where he is tempted by Satan for 40 days. Then John's arrested. Jesus proclaims in Galilee, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Then Jesus calls disciples Simon and Andrew, and then James and John, and they follow Jesus. Take a moment. Take a breath. This has all happened in chapter 1, and what we read this morning still doesn't end chapter 1. Mark's gospel doesn't dawdle, but keeps moving along. So the scene is set. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. All of this action has taken place, and it would seem that maybe we are getting a glimpse as to what Jesus' ministry may just be about. Now, we are not told what Jesus is preaching or is teaching, but that those gathered are astounded. They are astounded because Jesus teaches with authority, and this is different than the way that the scribes teach. Now, for those of us who have heard the beginning of Mark's gospel, we have been given a lot of information about who Jesus is and where his authority comes from. But for those gathered in the synagogue, they couldn't seem to believe their eyes and ears. They seem to recognize that Jesus is different, but they do not fully understand. Mark doesn't really care that they don't understand. He just keeps the story moving at a feverish pace. The people are astounded, but there is also a man with an unclean spirit who seems to know more about Jesus than the crowd knows. The demon seems to be the one crying out from inside the man, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." This won't be the only time that the demons seem to know who Jesus is upon first sight. We are given a reason for Jesus' authority. He is called the Holy One of God by the demon. Again, we don't get any more explanation. Instead, Jesus rebukes the demon, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." Jesus' authority extends over the demon, who convulses the man and makes him cry out with a loud voice. He seems to be no match for the Holy One of God, the one who has been possessed by the Holy Spirit. Again, the worshipers aren't sure what to make of all of this. We are told that they are amazed and they keep asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority?" He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. This moment in the synagogue has brought Jesus fame, but do the people truly understand what Jesus has done? Is the pivotal moment in these verses when Jesus cast out the demon? Or is the pivotal moment when the demon names him as the Holy One of God? I think it changes the meaning of this story, and it changes how we think about Jesus' ministry as it moves forward, depending on how we answer that question. It's easy to get caught up in the amazing moment when Jesus casts out the demon. The crowd in the synagogue focuses in on this ability, but I'm not sure it answers their question about authority. Yes, he has the authority to teach and the authority to cast out demons, but we have to wonder, is this what he's talking about when he talks about his authority? There's an important distinction to be made, as one author writes. In the New Testament, power has an almost universally negative connotation, and it can be conferred, grasped, or wielded because it remains external. Authority, on the other hand, is internal, or given, that the Greek word for authority means out of one's essence, essential. Whatever Jesus does is a demonstration not of external power, but of his inner life and essence. His authority comes from being the beloved Son of God. His authority comes from being the Holy One of God. His authority comes from having the Holy Spirit within him. And we will see over and over again that this authority is demonstrated in compassion for the one who is possessed or sick or afflicted in any way. I think when we focus too closely on the demon in the story, then we can lose the connection this gospel has to our own lives. We may have things in our life that make us feel out of control. We may have things in our lives that keep us from fully following Jesus. We may have things in our lives that possess us. We may have things in our lives that we call demons. But these are not the things that define who we are. These are not the things that shape our identity. We have been baptized in Christ Jesus. We have been drowned and raised to new life. We have been claimed by God as God's own beloved children. We have seen Jesus' authority as the Holy One of God. What we will see in the weeks to come in Mark's gospel is that Jesus has compassion for the people he encounters. He will cast out more demons. He will heal people from many different afflictions, and through his ministry, we will recognize that Jesus has the authority to heal each one of us as well. And Jesus has the authority to release us from whatever demons that may have a hold of us. He has been given that authority as the beloved Son, the Holy One, possessed by the Holy Spirit. When we recognize Jesus' authority over the things that possess us, then we will be changed. In our baptism, and again when we affirm our baptism, we are asked a series of questions. They are, do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? Can we renounce the things of this world that possess us? Can we renounce the addictions, the belief systems, the individualism that has hold of us? Can we renounce the ways that we demonize the poor and idolize the rich? Can we renounce the ways that we are racist towards those who are not like us? Can we renounce the ways that we worship our possessions ahead of God? Can we renounce the ways that we deny the humanity of others by using names and descriptions that are less than human? Can we renounce the ways that we do not, as a society, adequately care for those who struggle with mental illness? Can we renounce the plank in our own eyes instead of pointing out the speck in our neighbor's eye? Jesus has the authority to cast out the demons in our lives, and he does it over and over by showing compassion to us in our need. We are shown this compassion in that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for each one of us. There is a reason why the Holy Spirit draws us here to confess our sins and hear the promise of God's forgiveness. There is a reason why we receive Christ's body and blood at our extended table in this time, because Christ's body and blood is given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. There are so many things that trying to possess our time and our talent and our treasures each day. There are so many things trying to convince us that we can be the God of our own lives. But along comes Jesus, rebuking the things in our lives that would separate us from God, calling to the demons and commanding them to be silent, come out. Are we astounded by the authority of Christ over our lives? Are we astounded by Jesus' ability to heal each one of us and set us free from those things that possess us? Are we astounded by God's full claim on our lives? Amen.